This is the Anxiety Summit Season 2, and I'd like to welcome you to yet another great call with another of our excellent experts. I am your host, Trudy Scott. I'm a food mood expert, certified nutritionist, and author of the Anti-Anxiety Food Solution. And today our topic is mood, anxiety, energy, and your thyroid. And our guest expert is Dr. Hyla Kass, integrative psychiatrist. A very big welcome to you, Dr. Kass, or should I say Hyla, because I know you so well.
You can call me whatever you like. I'm just so happy to be on this program with you.
Oh, well,
I love that you're doing the Anxiety Summits, that you're spreading the word, that you're giving voice to a lot of really wonderful experts.
And well, thank you. Thank you for being one of them.
Thank you. So I'm excited.
And for doing the work that you do. And we're going to, one of the questions I'm going to ask is how you got into this. So let me just read your bio, and then we will go right into our questions. Because the thyroid is such an important point, such an important topic, and can play a role in mood and anxiety and also low energy. So we definitely want to be focusing on this. Dr. Hyla Kass is a nationally acclaimed physician, board certified in psychiatry and neurology, as well as in integrative and holistic medicine. She is one of the country's foremost authors and experts on the subject of integrative medicine, combining the best of leading edge natural medicine with modern science in her clinical practice of 30 years, writings, lectures, and nationwide media appearances. She's recognized for helping people to come off both psychiatric medication and substances of abuse with the use of targeting nutritional supplements, including her own unique formulations. They also serve to enhance mind, mood, energy, and memory naturally. Quoted widely in newspapers and magazines, including the Los Angeles Times, the Toronto Star, Cosmopolitan, Newsweek, and People magazine, she also appears regularly on radio and television on shows such as The Dr. Oz Show, The View, E! Entertainment, and MSNBC. She's the author of several popular books, including User's Guide to Herbal Remedies, St. John's Wort, Nature's Blues Buster, Natural Highs, Supplement Your Prescription, What Your Doctor Doesn't Know About Nutrition, 8 Weeks to Vibrant Health and the Addicted Brain, and How to Break Free. And you can see more on her website, kassmd.com. Now, if you tuned in for Season 1, you may remember Hyla Kass presenting on the Addicted Brain and How to Break Free. It was such a popular topic, and Hyla was so popular as a speaker that I invited her back to talk about a completely new topic. And we're going to talk about thyroid health and the impact on mood, anxiety, and also energy. You may wonder why we care about low energy if you're anxious. But if you have low energy because of thyroid issues, and keep in mind there could be other reasons why you may have low energy, but if you've got this low energy, you're more likely to gravitate to the sugar, to the coffee, and other sources of caffeine to give you that energy, self-medicate with it to feel better, and then those in turn could have an impact on your anxiety. So you can see there are many mechanisms at play here, and we want to obviously have good thyroid health for that reason and for all the other reasons that we're going to learn about today. So let's get to our topic, mood, anxiety, energy, and your thyroid. And Hyla, I would love you to just start with how you moved from conventional psychiatry and neurology to becoming board certified in integrative and holistic medicine.
Well, thank you for asking. I think it all began because my father was a family doctor who practiced out of our home in Toronto, where I grew up, and medicine was really... it was sort of the family business. I would answer the door. I would be kind of his assistant. You know, I'd let people in, let them out. I'm talking about a 3- and 4-year-old kid here. You know,
yeah.
I was, but, you know, I was big enough to open the door. And I'd watch people come in really upset and sick or sad and come out looking pretty relieved. And I also would be privy to his conversations. He would actually talk to me about what was going on with patients, not like giving a lot of personal information in that sense, but just about how he treated certain issues. And I really absorbed it. I got a lot of it by osmosis. I think by the time I went to medical school, I had absorbed a whole lot of information. I remember we'd be in a carpool in high school, and my friends would say, how do you know so much medicine? Your father's always talking medicine to you and you understand it. And I thought, like, yeah, really? Of course I do, because I was spoken to in that language, in that medical language, from a very early age. So it came so naturally to me that I was going to be some sort of a medical person. And I thought I was going to be a nurse, but my dad thought that I should be a doctor. And I, like, well, why not? I mean, so it was really good that I had that kind of mentoring and encouragement. So first role modeling, conversations, and then literally really encouraging me to go to medical school. And once I was in medical school, I gravitated towards psychiatry because I really liked the mind-body connection. So I wasn't so much influenced by the whole drug model. For me, medicine was about relationship and about people's relationship with each other, with themselves, and ultimately I began to notice with food. So as I went through my residency, you know, very, very early on, I noticed this about sugar, blood sugar, and began to put two and two together and began to follow mentors who were a little ahead of me, Mel Werbach, for example, and then the granddaddy of orthomolecular medicine, Abram Hoffer. I began to go to conferences and really learn this information and find that when I used it with patients, although they were a little skeptical at first, they became converts because they saw that they didn't need to be on drugs, that using supplements, using a good diet, changing their lifestyle really influenced their mood and that they didn't need to be on drugs. And some, you know, as the years went on, I'd see people who'd been on drugs for years and I was able to help them to not only go off the drugs but onto supplements that made them feel even better than they had ever felt either before being on the meds or certainly during, because when you're on medication, there are a lot of side effects. I think we know about that. So I found my own solution. I had to really search for the answers, but by the time I was, at a certain point, probably 20-odd years ago, this is what I was doing. I was doing nutritional psychiatry, and I still am, or functional medicine and psychiatry. You know, we introduced the use of natural hormones. So I've taken from all of medicine and all of functional medicine, or alternative medicine, it used to be called, and I just call it good medicine, to treat the root cause. You know, let's not just treat a symptom with Prozac or Zoloft or Celexa or whatever, but let's look at what the root cause is of an issue and treat it at that place, and we'll have a much better chance of getting a positive result.
That's wonderful, and I love that you call it good medicine. That's so important, and it's very interesting that you talk about Abram Hoffer because he is such a leader, was such a leader in the world of natural nutritional psychiatry, which you call yourself. And I think it's so wonderful that you've been doing this for so long and followed, you know, great doctors and pioneers like Abram Hoffer. Fantastic.
Yeah, I was really blessed to have found these really wonderful people and be able to really learn at their feet. And Abram was one. He used to send me patients. He practiced in Victoria, and he practiced really probably till the end. He passed away in his 90s. But he would send me patients. There weren't that many doctors doing this kind of work. And I was really honored by that because it really meant he had faith in what I did, and that also encouraged me. So I guess I had my father mentoring me growing up, and then I had Abram mentoring me. And, by the way, Abram was also Canadian.
Yes.
As I was, as my father was. So there's a big Canadian connection there.
Fantastic. So share a little bit about Abram Hoffer, what he's known for people who may not be familiar with his work.
One of the things he really discovered was when he was the director of the biggest mental health hospital in Canada, the big provincial mental health hospital, equivalent to our state mental hospitals, in Saskatchewan. He discovered that B3, vitamin B3 or niacin in high doses given to schizophrenics, given to back ward schizophrenics who were put away for life, which is what they used to do in those days, that they would recover when they were given the right doses, high doses of niacin, and often accompanied by vitamin C. Now that is totally brilliant. And how did he get to that? Little aside here, when he did his PhD, which he did before he went to medical school, he actually did research in B vitamins. So it was like a sort of piece of magic here. He had the background. He put two and two together, and he and Humphrey Osmond from England, who had come to the U.S., got together and did this research and determined that niacin was really good for treating schizophrenia, got people out of the back wards, sent them home. They got married, had families, had jobs. It was miraculous. Unfortunately, this wasn't carried forth in the professional field because at that point, psychiatry had discovered drugs. And the drugs had a very strong drug lobby, and that was that. You know, you can't fight City Hall, you can't fight the drug companies, or you couldn't at that time. So that was hugely, that was so unfortunate. The other thing he discovered about niacin was that it was really excellent for lowering cholesterol naturally. That is brilliant. And niacin is still used to this day for lowering cholesterol. Not that cholesterol is so evil. We've come to learn that cholesterol is very important. And all this idea about calling it the enemy and lowering those statins is really antithetical to good health. And when people have really low cholesterols, they have lower hormones, men become impotent, people lose their memory and cognition. A good percent of people become kind of dumber from the statins. And it can be actually quite a serious problem. Dwayne Graveline, who'd been a NASA physician, wrote a book about it because it happened to him. He lost his memory from being on statins, and when he went off the statin, he regained his memory. So that was quite amazing. So that was all from Dr. Hoffer's work.
Very interesting.
So, you know, don't use the statin. Use niacin to lower cholesterol. And then the other issue about cholesterol, of course, is it's not due to eating fat, really. It's really due to eating refined carbs.
Right. And then I know there's some work showing that niacinamide can raise HDL, which is what you want. You want that form to be higher.
Good cholesterol. Yeah, because HDL helps to carry cholesterol into the cell. It's a good thing.
Yep.
You want the LDL to be lower. But I've had patients with very low LDLs because they're on statins, and they weren't doing very well. They're depressed, and they can't think straight. And the men didn't have their libido and their sexual functioning. And I, you know, had to argue with their cardiologist or their internist about taking them off the statins. And it can be kind of a battle, and it's, the statins are the standard of care.
Right.
So I warn people, please do your homework about the statins and listen to Abram Hoffer, who determined that niacin does a great job.
Excellent.
By the way, it also may raise liver enzymes, but that's not a dangerous thing.
Right. And I'm just in awe that you know him and that he referred patients to you. That's just wonderful. He's one of my heroes. And I'm curious if you ever met or heard Carl Pfeiffer present or knew him, because he was – I know he was working with Abram Hoffer and Humphrey Osmond in the work of, you know, looking at pyroluria in schizophrenic patients.
Right. I know he did. I certainly read his material, but I did not have the honor of meeting him.
Okay. Great.
Yeah, I used to meet Abram at the Orthomolecular Society meetings, which were really cool. They'd be in Toronto, and that's where I'm from, so I'd get to have a chance to go to Toronto to the Orthomolecular meetings and hang around with the greats of orthomolecular psychiatry and see my family at the same time. And by the way, there's going to be one in Toronto coming up in April, and I'm actually going to be given an award for accomplishment in the field of orthomolecular psychiatry. So I'm so honored.
Wow, that is absolutely fantastic.
That one out.
You deserve it, Hala. And I'm so glad you bring this up, firstly, that you're getting the award, because to get an award from the Orthomolecular Society is a feather in your cap, and congratulations. And I actually, on the summit, am interviewing Dr. Jonathan Prowski, who's a naturopath in Canada, and he is now the editor of the journal that is produced by the Orthomolecular Society, and he mentioned the event as well, and I'm planning to go, so we'll come there and see you get your award. And if anyone else is interested in this society and the event, I'll make sure that we post it on the blog that goes with this interview.
Awesome. Wonderful.
Good.
I'm really excited.
That is so great. Well done.
Are you going to be there? Oh, well, we get to go to good places together, don't we?
We do. We do. We were just at the Integrative Medicine for Mental Health Conference. Hila presented twice, and I presented as well. And it's good to go to these events and meet other practitioners, hear the work that other people are doing, and then, you know, obviously share your work with people so they can learn about it as well. And I think this whole idea of collaboration and bringing together experts like I'm doing on the summit is great, because there's a lot of amazing people doing amazing work, and we need to get the information out so people know that there are options for them when they're feeling anxious.
Exactly. Yeah, and you're doing such a good job at that.
Well, thank you. So let's get into our topic today. We got a little bit of a detour there, but I think it was well worth it. Let's talk about thyroid disorders and how common are they?
Well, we have, it's not quite an epidemic, but we have a lot more than is realized, because so often people are told it's usually women, because women have a higher incidence than men of thyroid disorders. They're usually told that, oh, it's, your thyroid's okay, you know, maybe a little borderline, you know, a little borderline bad, but, you know, we'll just wait and see. But there are probably 10 million cases, the 10 million diagnosed cases in the U.S. approximately. And there's probably another 13 million, get this, 13 million who have undiagnosed thyroid deficiency. So these are usually women, and they have this sort of below-the-radar hypothyroidism, where their blood levels, their result of their TSH is a little bit borderline, and so they're not treated. It's so sad, because they come to me, and I have a very different standard. The way I look at a TSH is very different. And, in fact, the Endocrinological Society is closer to what I look at and what the functional medicine doctors accept, rather than the old-fashioned one that the labs will look at some very high TSHs and accept them, and we don't. I really like to have a TSH 2 or under, because when your TSH is too high, what it means is your thyroid-stimulating hormone, which is released by the pituitary gland, is telling your thyroid gland, hey, get moving, put out some thyroid. And if you're not putting out thyroid, if your thyroid gland isn't functioning properly and not making enough thyroid, or you're not converting the T4 to T3, which I'll get to in a minute, but basically if you have insufficient thyroid activity, a signal goes back to your pituitary to make more. And so the TSH gets higher and higher. So it doesn't mean you have higher thyroid, that it's a good thing. No, you have low thyroid, and your pituitary is trying to get your thyroid gland to wake up. So when I see one that's 2 and over, I really begin then looking for some cause of low thyroid function.
Okay. So this is the TSH, a thyroid-stimulating hormone. We often see it 2 to 5, and that is often considered normal, but if you're saying if it's above 2, then we want to look at further if someone has the symptoms.
Oh, right, of course. I mean, let's treat the symptoms, not the lab test, first of all. Mm-hmm. So if someone presents to me with a whole laundry list of thyroid symptoms, of low thyroid symptoms, I'm going to treat. I'm going to look for the exact cause, because that person may not require that I give them thyroid hormone, although I may. It may require some other solution, but I know that there's something wrong and that it needs to be treated. So what happens is I'll treat, and then the individual, I've had so many people say things like, I feel energy for the first time in years. Or if I remember I had one, she's a seminar leader, and she was really dragging herself around. It was really rough. She was having trouble with her weight, she was feeling cold, and I gave her some thyroid hormone after doing testing, and she reported to me, she said, oh, wow, she said it was like someone turned the lights on, and she never looked back. We kept her on thyroid, and she kept, you know, we kept monitoring her, and it changed her life. She was able to work and do her traveling and do her speaking with enthusiasm and energy instead of just dragging it and feeling tired and terrible all the time. So these are the kinds of things I see, and it makes me happy to know that I've made such a difference in these women's lives.
Right. So So you alluded to some of the reasons why we might have low function, thyroid function, and that could be that we're not converting the T4 to the active form of T3. What are some of the other factors that can cause us to have a low thyroid function?
Well, if you're not converting T4 to T3, you want to go another step deeper. And that is why aren't you converting T4 to T3? Because that is the active form. So it could be that you're converting it to inactive form, which is reverse T3, and that's what you do in times of stress. It could be that you're deficient in certain minerals that are required to convert the T4 to T3, and those are like selenium, for example, zinc, magnesium. So we need to have a lot of chemicals in our body, a lot of good chemicals, good vitamins, good minerals, for all the chemistry to work properly. So rather than simply replacing thyroid hormone, which is, you know, it's a good idea and it works, but also to find out what's going on to make your body produce the T3 instead of giving it the word for it is exogenously, giving external T3, but let's encourage the body first to make it. Or your adrenals can be wiped out. You know, you get really stressed and your adrenals are working too hard and they kind of go on strike. And what happens when your adrenals are really exhausted is they're releasing cortisol, and you actually suppress your thyroid, your production of thyroid. So you could actually have a low TSH and a low T4 and a low T3, and it has to do with your adrenal glands being really tired. And what you look for is reverse T3. That's a good clue that your adrenals are not functioning on all cylinders.
So you'd see a high reverse T3.
Yeah.
Okay,
so these are all the things that we need to look at. You know, as a physician, I look at free T3, free T4, TSH, reverse T3, and antithyroid antibodies. I don't just do a TSH. So when I see somebody who's just getting a TSH done, it's really kind of, well, it's inadequate. Let's just say it's inadequate. So I do a whole panel, and actually in 8 Weeks to Vibrant Health, I have a chapter on thyroid and adrenals that goes into this in quite a bit of detail so that people can understand it. Because I'm saying a lot, and this is kind of complex information. So by reading it slowly and absorbing it gradually, you can get a better fix on what I'm actually saying.
Great.
And the other things that will affect your thyroid are, besides the adrenal glands, your progesterone and estrogen. Because all the hormones are like an orchestra. And they really do work together to produce a nice concert, or they're not producing a nice concert. And something can be out. You can have not enough thyroid, too much estrogen. You can be estrogen dominant. You can have insufficient testosterone. If you have insufficient testosterone, it can dial down your thyroid. The other thing is starvation. It's not a good idea to starve yourself. Now, if people are starving, that's a tragedy. But I'm talking about starvation diets, where you go through these phases of starvation to lose weight because your body goes into starvation mode and you end up lowering your thyroid function. And that works against you because when you start eating again, that food is just going to be glommed. Your body's going to glom onto it because, oh my, we've been starving. Hey, let's hang on to everything. And your thyroid gets low and tired, and you go into this vicious cycle of dieting and gaining more weight, even more weight when you go back to eating. So the bottom line here is to learn how to eat appropriately, moderately, eating the right foods and not causing your thyroid to slow down as you would when you're in a starvation mode. So, and those are basically some of the causations. And then the other thing is we need to be able to tell, and people have to tell, when they are likely low thyroid, because your doctor isn't going to usually spend enough time to help you out on this. So actually, in 8 Weeks to Vibrant Health, I have this great questionnaire, and in one section of it, there's a whole list of thyroid questions. So you don't even have to know anything about the thyroid. But if you're really tired, especially first thing in the morning, if you have difficulty losing weight, dry skin, dry, brittle hair, have constipation, if you're cold, if you wear socks to bed, and I ask this every time I speak, and when I'm talking about the thyroid, I ask, how many of you wear socks to bed? And you can't imagine the number of hands that go up. Have you ever done that?
Oh, yes. It's a very common thing. You're right.
Yeah. So it's, yeah, and their partners don't always like their cold feet, or they use their partners to warm up their feet. But that's a sign very often of low thyroid. Forgetfulness, low sex drive, depression. Another very interesting occurrence is the outer third of the eyebrow gets thinner. And it's just so odd, but when I actually was doing a writing project with someone, and she read that, she said, oh my, that's me. And she, in fact, was low thyroid, diagnosed through the thinning of the outer third of her eyebrow. And another very tragic part, the symptom of low thyroid, is infertility and miscarriage, because both becoming pregnant and keeping a pregnancy are very, very reliant on thyroid hormone. And if it's not working properly, you're not going to be able to become pregnant or carry a baby to term. And I can't tell you how many women, I mean, it's so sad, that I have seen in my practice or just met who were clearly low thyroid and had repeated issues either with infertility or miscarriages, and no one ever diagnosed it. And I want to say this very, very, very clearly. If you have a case of infertility, if you have had more than one miscarriage, even one miscarriage, please check your thyroid. And check it in the right way with free T3, free T4, TSH, antithyroid antibodies, and reverse T3.
Can you mention the thyroid antibodies? Because I know that there's also research showing a connection to infertility and gluten issues. And if you've got Hashimoto's thyroiditis, that might be a factor as well.
Totally. It's sometimes hard to get people to really get that they need to stay off gluten, or they'll cheat a little. You can't cheat. When you're gluten sensitive, you have to really stay off it. And one of my really kind of perfect cases in this regard was a woman I was treating for quite some time for serious depression. And I knew it wasn't really a psychotherapy case. And she was low thyroid and very, very, very depressed. And she had Hashimoto's. And I said, and we were treating it with thyroid hormone and with antioxidants and fish oil, you know, the things that we usually do to treat thyroiditis. But the one thing she didn't really want to do was give up her gluten. So finally, I said, I think it's time, like, just do it. Just do it for a month. Just a month. Well, it changed her life. This was 10 years ago, and she has not looked back. And in fact, she said when she was traveling at one point, she accidentally ingested some gluten, and boy, she said she went into such a depression, like just for temporarily, you know, that day. And she realized she'd had some gluten. So it was that pronounced, because when you stay off of something that you're sensitive to, you have a really strong reaction. You could really see it in isolation. So thank you for bringing that up. Very,
yep.
Very important aspect.
Yeah, and Dr. Tom O'Brien is talking specifically on gluten and how it can affect our mood, and a big factor, whether you've got Hashimoto's or not, gluten is a big factor. So I wanted to just go back to the antibody testing. Can you just mention the two antibodies, antithyroglobulin and antithyroperoxidase, correct?
Right.
Yeah. So those are the ones that you'd want to test.
Antithyroid and TPO, anti-TPO.
Okay.
And you don't have to remember the names, because you can just look them up. You can cheat. Look them up in 8 weeks to Vibrant Health. But those are the two thyroid antibodies.
Great.
And what happens is gluten has your body, well, it doesn't do it, but it makes your body produce antibodies to your thyroid. It's as if your body is confusing your thyroid gland with gluten. So it's pretty wacky, but that's what happens. That's what autoimmune disease is about. It's when your body gets confused and it mounts an immune response against your own self.
Right.
So it's kind of self-sabotage, but that's kind of how things work.
Yep, and
so
we've been
we
talking...
To,
We've been talking about underactive thyroid primarily now. I'd love to just quickly touch on Hashimoto's because this is a different form, and then also quickly on hyperthyroidism because those can both be closely tied to anxiety and mood issues. And I pulled up a paper that was actually published just recently talking about this connection between Hashimoto's thyroiditis and mood. And what it said is that if you've got normal results, normal thyroid test results with Hashimoto's thyroiditis, you've got an increased predisposition to major depression and anxiety disorders. And what they're saying is that thyroid autoimmunity and other thyroid pathologies should be investigated in these patients with treatment-resistant complaints. So this might be someone who's got anxiety and depression. They've been to the doctor, they've been put on medications, SSRIs or anti-anxiety medication, and they're not getting results. And this term treatment-resistant depression and anxiety, it kind of gets to me because what it means is we haven't actually got to the root cause of the problem. So
thank you.
We need to do that.
Thank you. That is one of the big terms in psychiatry, treatment-resistant depression. It's not treatment resistant. It's that you haven't discovered what the cause is. I mean, please. So thank you for saying that.
Okay, good. And so when someone has the Hashimoto's, we're going to see symptoms of low thyroid and then also symptoms of overactive thyroid, correct?
Right. And what happens is some of these patients even look bipolar. I've had patients that were diagnosed as bipolar and they come and I said, you're not bipolar. And I said, you probably have a thyroid problem. Because what happens is when they have a surge, they get a surge of thyroid hormone, they get a thyroid toxicosis, and that makes them hyper. And then when that surge stops, they dip down and they're very low, depressed, anxious, feeling really terrible. And so they're having mood swings. And what are mood swings? Bipolar illness.
Mm-hmm.
But not really. So bipolar illness, by the way, I think is a real sort of a garbage can of many different conditions. And again, with bipolar, you need to look at what's the root cause. It could be an essential fatty acid deficiency. It could be, as we're saying here, Hashimoto's thyroiditis. It could be a deficiency in any number of vitamins and minerals. It could just need some amino acid to balance it out. So it doesn't necessarily mean just because somebody looks, quote, bipolar doesn't mean they have to be on that whole cocktail of meds that these poor people get put on.
Excellent. Great. And then I want to just mention hyperthyroidism, which is overactive thyroidism. And I don't want to imply that what we're going to talk about next, you know, can be, you can't use nutritional solutions necessarily for the overactive thyroid. But I do want to just mention it because I've heard of a number of people who had an overactive thyroid for a number of years and were very anxious and had panic attacks and racing heart and heart palpitations and were terrified and thought they were going to die, and then they discovered that they had an overactive thyroid. And I actually pulled up a paper, a recent one in the European Journal of Endocrinology, and they said hyperthyroid individuals have an increased risk of being hospitalized with psychiatric diagnoses and being treated with antipsychotics, antidepressants, and anxiolytics, in other words, anti-anxiety medications, both before
exactly.
and after the diagnosis, which is very sad.
Yes. And what's happening again is it's antibodies against the thyroid that's causing that. And what they do is they ablate the thyroid, when actually there are other ways to go, including seeing what's causing the Graves' disease, seeing what's causing the autoimmune disease. Autoimmune disease doesn't come out of nowhere. It has some basis. By the way, pregnancy can sometimes set it off. Smoking can set it off. Various things that affect the immune system. And again, going back to the gluten, you could actually be gluten sensitive, and that could be causing the Graves' disease. So before getting your thyroid ablated, which is not a good thing because then you have to be on thyroid replacement for the rest of your life. Then again, I've heard of people who had thyroid ablation and then somehow doctors forgot to give them a thyroid replacement and they were going around with no thyroid function. So that's another really difficult situation.
Right, or they've given some medication and then they're not monitored, which you definitely, you know, then that needs to be happening.
Right. Yeah, it's like women who have hysterectomies, or they're given total hysterectomies, taken with their ovaries removed, and they have no hormone function, but nobody thinks to give them hormones, or to put on them for a little while and then not, and these women suffer. So this is the whole, you know, this is our job. It's really looking at the whole body, the whole system, looking at all the chemistry, the interactions of the hormones, diet, supplements, nutrients, vitamins, minerals, and amino acids, looking at it all together, seeing what's out of balance and putting it back into balance, taking the right nutrients and the right bioidentical hormones to actually restore balance. And the balance will be biochemical balance. It'll also be mood balance, so people will feel much, much better. So
right.
There you go. You know, you're not just treating, for example, if you have Graves' disease and you ablate the thyroid, then what? So you've stopped the really severe responses, but you haven't actually treated the patient very well. You really want to then do the next step, which is, so what do they need now? And what was missing, what caused the Graves' disease, and what can we do to restore balance?
Excellent.
So it's all very complicated, but the bottom line here is, always look for root cause.
Great. So now let's go back to underactive thyroid, because there's a lot more that we can do with that, certainly from a nutritional point of view. And I know you talk about using natural thyroid hormones. Before we go into that, we talked about the blood testing. So we want to do TSH, free T3, free T4, possibly reverse T3, and then the two thyroid antibodies, antithyroglobulin and antithyroperoxidase. What about doing a basal temperature? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, that's really cool. That's the Broda-Barnes test. Broda-Barnes was a pioneer in the treatment of thyroid quite some years ago. He's long gone. But what you do is you actually take your temperature first thing in the morning, and it will give you a reading on what's going on with your thyroid. Your basal body temperature really is a reflection of your thyroid function. And I have a section, actually it's on page 170 of 8 Weeks to Vibrant Health, and what you do is you take an ordinary mercury thermometer, you shake it down before you go to bed, and then in the morning you put it under your arm and you leave it there for 10 minutes. And the reason why you do it under your arm is in case you have an infection in your mouth, which will raise your temperature artificially, it's better to do it under the arm, and it's kind of standardized that way. So you leave it for 10 minutes, you take a reading, and you do it every day for 4 days. And if you're a woman who's still menstruating, you want to do it starting on day 3 of your period when your temperature is going to be at its lowest. And you don't want to do it during ovulation because that's when you have the highest temperature. So you want to look for a temperature 97.8 or below. Remember that 98.6 is the normal oral temperature, but the underarm temperature is lower. So you want to look for something below 97.8 and take an average and see what it looks like. And if it looks like you may be low thyroid, get it checked. Do the blood tests. And there's some labs actually that do a finger stick test. I just got one back on a patient today. So you may not even have to go to a lab to get your blood drawn in order to get a TSH, T3, T4, and so on. So that's a good point.
So I've got a quick follow-on question about that, and that's the mercury thermometer. A lot of those are not available now. A basal thermometer would do the same.
I'm old, aren't I? I used to play with mercury when I was a kid. We used to break, when a thermometer broke, we used to play with the mercury. How's that for toxicity?
I know. I did the same.
Oh, my heavens. Yeah. So we don't have mercury thermometers. Forget about it. Use whatever you have, digital thermometer.
Yeah, and then
now I have to touch the skin. Okay, I'm dating myself. So really, we have to redo the basal body temperature test with the Broda-Barnes routine and just use the skin temperature one.
And what is the skin temperature one?
It's a thing that's what they use it in hospitals, or use it with children. You just touch the person's skin and you get a reading.
Okay.
And so I don't know how that's sized with the Broda-Barnes test. So don't quote me on this one, but looks like we need to do a little research.
Okay, and maybe we can share that on the blog. I've used the digital thermometer, which you can get in the pregnancy section of stores, and it goes to 2 decimal points. And as long as you're sort of seeing a trend, you know, that seems to be helpful enough.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly right. And the trend should be higher. You should be able to do things remedially that will bring the temperature up higher.
Right. And it's not a hard and fast test. It's just something to give you a clue that maybe you want to do some more testing and work with a integrative practitioner who can help you with this.
Exactly. It's a good diagnostic test.
And it's also nice if you are getting on treatment because then you can monitor it and see that things are changing.
Yes.
Okay, great. So let's talk a little bit about conventional medical treatment that we often see in place for low thyroid issues, underactive thyroid.
Yeah, I think the conventional medical treatment is inadequate, totally inadequate. First of all, they're not treating it. I mean, here I am. I'm a psychiatrist, for heaven's sake. And I'm saying that the endocrinologists and the internists and the GPs in general are under-treating thyroid dysfunction. And that really annoys me because I see these poor women suffering for no reason. There's no reason to suffer. What they do, what they're given is Synthroid, and often in too low of a dose. And Synthroid is T4. Levothyroxine is the a generic name. So they're given T4, and it may not convert to T3. They may be lacking, for example, in selenium, which is a mineral. 200 micrograms, very tiny amount of selenium will do the trick to convert T4 to T3. But if you can't convert, then the T4 is useless. So it shows in your blood test, oh, yeah, your T4 is great. Yeah, but what about your T3? Oh, well, we're not measuring T3. Why not? Just because. So if they don't measure the T3, as you and I do, then they're not going to know that it's not converting and that the person is still hypothyroid, and that's why they're still cold and depressed and constipated and infertile and all the symptoms of low thyroid, even though they're on Synthroid. So these people, I will add T3. I don't like Cytomel particularly. That's the standard T3 because it tends to peak really fast and then drop, and people get a little hyper on it. I prefer to use extended release Cytomel that I can T3 that I can get at a compounding pharmacy, or replacing the whole business, the T3 and T4, just replacing it with natural desiccated thyroid, which I really like a lot because it combines. If you're a vegetarian, I guess you wouldn't like it because it's made from pigs, so which makes it not kosher either. So you have to take that into account for certain patients, but the desiccated thyroid has not only the T3 and T4 in it already, but it also has other elements of thyroid. And you're really getting a lot more than you think, because even like when you're taking herbs, for example, that are standardized to a particular ingredient, you really want to have the whole herb too, even though it's standardized to one ingredient, like St. John's wort being standardized to icarosin. You still want to have the whole St. John's wort flower in it because it all works synergistically. The same thing with the thyroid hormone. You may be standardizing it to T3 and T4, but there's some other goodies in there that are going to help your thyroid, just like it helped the poor little piggy that it belonged to. Or they probably mix a whole bunch of different piggies' thyroids with it. So there you go. But I find patients do really well on the T3-T4 combination or natural desiccated thyroid. Armour Thyroid makes it. I tend to use Nature Thyroid or West Thyroid because they're cleaner and they're actually more reliable, made by a different company.
Okay. So you use the Nature Thyroid and the West Thyroid, you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay. Great.
Or WP. It's now called WP, and it has very few excipients, and I think the only thing it has in it is inositol. I don't remember the exact combination, but it's very clean. And these are very clean animals, too. They're fed appropriately, and they're not fed junk, and treated appropriately. They're not toxic in any way, eating pure foods in a fairly clean, healthy environment. So, that's my vote. My vote is a natural desiccated thyroid.
Okay, great. Do we know if those natural thyroid hormones like Natrathroid and Westroid, are they from all animals that are eating their natural diet and organic?
Yes.
Okay, great.
I would assume organic, and that's a really good point. It's made by a company called RLC, and they have very good high standards. And I don't know the answer to that question, and I should. So that's something you can blog about, too.
Okay, great. And then I wanted, did you say something about inositol? Did you say inositol was in one of these?
Yeah. Well, they need some sort of fillers and, you know, things to hold them together, but there are some of the ingredients in Natrathroid, even though they're pretty good and clean, there are people who have reactions to them.
Okay.
So for that reason, this company developed an even more pure form called WP Thyroid. Now, both the WP Thyroid and the Natrathroid are guaranteed to be gluten and corn-free. They have no artificial colors. They've never had an FDA recall. And, there's just a couple of inactive ingredients in the WP. The Natrathroid has a little bit more. But really, compared to the Armour Thyroid, which is the drugstore, the pharmacy version of natural desiccated thyroid called Armour Thyroid, it is not gluten and corn-free, and it does have artificial colors, and it has had FDA recalls, and has lots of artificial ingredients. So that's not what you want to have.
Okay, great. Good to get that clarification. And then just going back to a conventional medical treatment, I pulled a paper that was actually published this year saying that impaired psychological well-being, depression, or anxiety are observed in 5 to 10% of hypothyroid patients receiving levothyroxine, which is a Synthroid, despite normal TSH levels. So we've got really current research showing that we're seeing that some of these medications don't work. And I do want to just say that I have had a number of clients who do well on some of the synthetic thyroid medication. So I think, you know, we're all unique and it may work for you, but what Tyler is saying is that if we can do well on the Natrathroid or the Westroid, then we're getting an all-round thyroid support, which I like the thought of.
Yeah, and if you want more information, you can just go to their website. Nature-Throid.com, and they have some very good patient education right on it, so you can really see the difference between the different thyroids.
Excellent, thank you. We'll share that as well.
I gave a talk to them at the A4M, the American Academy of Anti-Aging Medicine. I gave a talk for this company because I really believe in them, and they asked me to speak to my colleagues about the use of natural desiccated thyroid, and I did, and I'm always happy to talk about them because I think they do a really fabulous job.
Excellent.
So there you go.
So we talked a little bit about gluten. What other dietary factors do we need to consider when it comes to thyroid?
Well, you want to make sure that your iodine level is adequate because we need iodine. Two of the ingredients of thyroid are iodine and tyrosine. And if we're deficient in either of those, we're going to have a problem making thyroid hormones. It's not so much let's replace thyroid hormone, let's give somebody thyroid hormone, but maybe they need iodine. Maybe they need tyrosine. I mean, just because we have iodized salt doesn't mean that we have sufficient iodine. We're told to eat a low-salt diet. The iodine that's an iodized salt doesn't really do it. And what you really need are the iodine that's in kelp, bladderwrack, and some of those natural products, some of the Japanese vegetables, the sea vegetables, are high in iodine. So that's what you really want to have. Or take iodorol or some of the other compounded iodines, iodine and iodide. And that helps to make thyroid hormone. But we also need iodine, by the way, for breast tissue. Breast tissue is very high in iodine, And if we don't have sufficient iodine, and unfortunately, there's a lot of fluoride and bromide that is replacing the iodine, because these are all halides. And so I don't want to get too chemical here, but we've replaced the natural iodine that's in breast tissue and in thyroid tissue with chlorine, fluoride, does that sound familiar, fluoride mm-hmm. from water, and bromide from bread, if you're still eating bread, and that actually causes, that really does cause a problem because it replaces iodine that is needed to protect against cancer. So we end up having a deficient a thyroid that doesn't have enough iodine, and in breast tissue, we actually can be prone to breast cancer due to inadequate amounts of iodine. So very important to have enough. And there's really some controversy among the functional medicine doctors as to how much is enough. And I'll leave that discussion for another time. And then tyrosine. Tyrosine, we know, is useful for making dopamine, but it's also useful for, it's one of the building blocks of thyroid hormone. So we need tyrosine to feel good, both because it makes dopamine and because it makes thyroid hormone, and thyroid hormone makes us feel good too. So make sure you have enough tyrosine in your system.
Okay.
I give something like 500 to 1,000 milligrams a day and check that out. And then some of the anti-thyroid, some of the goitrogens are things like soy and also some of the sulfur-containing vegetables, you know, the ones that smell a little funny, you know, like cabbage, broccoli, cauliflower. They're called goitrogens because if you eat too much of them, they actually interfere with thyroid function. But don't let that stop you from eating these foods because we need them. They're very healthy. Just don't have them in excess. And soy you can probably do without. It actually can cause, it's an anti-thyroid. Soy is anti-thyroid. And in some people it can be cause quite a problem.
Great. And I'm glad you said no soy, and certainly the cruciferous vegetables, the sulfur-containing vegetables like cabbage and broccoli and cauliflower, we've got to eat a lot of them for it to be a problem. And when they're cooked, it's a lot. It destroys the effect of how it could affect your thyroid. So is that a fair statement?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I don't think we have to be afraid of them. Just, you know, don't overdo a lot of raw cruciferous vegetables, which I don't think we can really do anyway. I'm not going to overdo a bunch of raw broccoli.
Yeah. And then I love how you talk about yoga and how useful this is. Obviously, we've got to be making lifestyle changes as well. And you talk about a certain yoga pose that is very beneficial for thyroid health. And I remember in Colorado going to Iyengar yoga classes, which I absolutely love, and being told about this amazing pose and how beneficial it was for thyroid health. Can we talk about that quickly?
Absolutely. The shoulder stand. The shoulder stand is really very good for getting circulation to the thyroid gland. And if you don't even have to be able to do a shoulder stand. You can do it against the wall. So it's not so much being acrobatic or being strong enough, but it's the position that does it. And after a while, you can actually, you can do it, you can hold it more easily. But just having a shoulder stand where your legs are up in the air and your circulation, the circulation goes to the thyroid, you'll really enhance thyroid function. You'll have a very happy thyroid.
Love it. And then, of course, you can't finish this without a discussion about exercise. And I love how you say, find something that works for you.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's no point playing tennis if what you want to do is run, and no point running when what you want to do is swim or climb, you know, do rock climbing. Whatever it is that really turns you on is what you should be doing. If you prefer to do things in company or team sports, that's what you should do. So find something that's going to, that you're actually going to do, and have a have an exercise buddy where it becomes fun. You know, if you go for a walk or a run with a friend, it's going to be not only more interesting, but you're likelier to do it because you're doing it together. And you're not going to stand them up either, unless you want, of course. But, you know, you're not likely to stand up your friend. And if you have a standing date for a run or a walk or a hike, it's great because you're on schedule for working out, for getting your exercise, and at the same time having a social time. So I think it's great killing two birds with one stone like that.
Great. And we know how beneficial exercise is for anxiety and depression. So getting in that exercise can make a very big difference.
Yes.
And then you talk about something that not a lot of people talk about, and I think it's fabulous, and this is using a mini trampoline or a rebounder. Tell us a little bit about why that could be useful.
Well, part of our circulation system is our lymphatic system. And does anyone ever talk about that? I don't think so. I think we had 2 minutes about it in medical school. But the lymphatic system is very, very important for the extracellular fluid. And it's a whole other circulatory system. And when we rebound, when we bounce, we are actually enhancing our circulation, the circulation of lymph. And lymph carries toxins out of the body. You know how we have lymph glands? We have glands and we have swollen glands. Those are lymph glands. That's part of the lymph system. And the toxins are created in the glands as it's detoxing the lymph. And then we want to eject the lymph. We want it to get out of the body. It shears the circulatory system. So it's important to have good lymph drainage, good lymph circulation. And that happens very nicely when you use a rebounder or a trampoline. It gets you all bounced up and gets all the bad stuff out, and it's part of a good detox. And it's good exercise.
Great.
And you really huff and puff on one of those.
Yes, I love it. This has been absolutely fantastic, Hala. What great information for addressing thyroid health. And I would like to just share that you've got this gift that people can download, a Reclaim Your Brain ebook. Do you want to share a little bit about that?
Yes. I spend so much time explaining to my patients about brain chemistry and how their mood is not necessarily a Prozac deficiency, and ADD isn't a Ritalin deficiency, but rather it has to do with the amino acids that we're ingesting, the food we're eating, and how these various chemicals are working in our brain. And so I wrote this ebook called Reclaim Your Brain, put it up on my website, and if you go to my website, cassmd.com, cassmd.com, and go to any page, including the home page, you're going to see my picture, so you'll see what I look like, my picture, and a place to put your name. So just put your name in there. If you're at your computer now, you could do it right now. Put your name and your email address there. And by return email, you'll get a present. And the present is a copy, a free copy of the 60-page ebook called Reclaim Your Brain. And it's all about dopamine, serotonin, GABA, all the different neurotransmitters that affect our mood, and how we can change our neurotransmitters through specific nutrition. It's not hard, it's not complicated, and I break it down into very simple steps and tell you exactly, I spoon feed you, tell you exactly what to take for each condition. So by the time you finish reading it, you're going to know if you need a GABA-producing product, if you need an energy-producing product, if you need a supplement that has, for example, adaptogens in it, which support the adrenal glands. And I have a product called Energy Boost that does that. Or do you need something to focus? Are you a little bit disabled in terms of focus? Do you tend to have ADD? Well, my focus product helps to produce dopamine and helps you to focus. So I explain what the ingredients are that you need, what products that I've created, and you don't have to get my products at all, of course, but I did these out of necessity. I created some products based on the various ingredients, like baking a cake. In order to make dopamine, for example, you need tyrosine, you need vitamin C, you need magnesium, B vitamins, and so on. And so I put these all together in one formula so you don't have to open 20 different bottles. And I did this for a number of different conditions. If you're feeling nervous, you may need GABA. So, again, I put something together called Calm, or Calm Natural Mind, which has all the ingredients like glycine, GABA, taurine that are calming amino acids. So that's my gift to you. It's helping you to understand how your brain works and how you can make it work even better.
Fantastic. Thanks very much, Hala. And I do want to just do one last plug for your great book, 8 Weeks to Vibrant Health. It's really fabulous. There's a great section in there on thyroid health and adrenal health and other areas that you want to focus on when it comes to your health. And thyroid health is obviously a big factor when it comes to anxiety and depression and low energy, as we talked about. So check that out. And again, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, and I want to mention something about 8 Weeks to Vibrant Health. You know, I have an 8 Weeks to Vibrant Health coaching program. And what I'm doing right now is I'm combining forces with some really smart ladies, two life coaches, health coaches, and we're putting together a coached program on 8 Weeks to Vibrant Health. So if you sign up, if you put your name and email and get the Reclaim Your Brain, that also puts you on my newsletter list, and we will send you information about this upcoming course, and it's coming soon. It's going to start later this month or early next month, and I'm very excited about it. So sign up so you can get started in taking charge of your health.
Great. Any final words of wisdom around thyroid health?
I think that it's just about learning as much as you can about things that sound kind of obscure, but that you can take charge, you can educate yourself, and be smart enough. You can be smart enough to make a really big difference in your own health and well-being, and I really urge everyone out there to do that. Your body is, it's the only body you have this time around, and you deserve to have the best of it and have a joyful and energetic life.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Thanks again for spending time with us and sharing your expertise. And again, congratulations on your upcoming award from the Ortho Molecular Society in Canada. And I look forward to seeing you there. And I look forward to sharing this interview with everyone on the Anxiety Summit. Thank you, everyone, for joining us on another great interview on the Anxiety Summit. This is Trudy Scott signing off. Please do join us on one of the other great interviews.